flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And away we go, ladies and gentlemen, to the final hour of the Rob Brown Show. It's the Fan Upstate. I am Rob, the great Lonzo on the ones and twos, and you are welcome to be a part of the radio broadcast this AM. You can do it on the phones at 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. You can do it on the text line, which is the exact same number, 844-326-3663. You can shoot me an email, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. Shoot Lonzo a tweet at Lonzo Onward. Shoot me a tweet at The Rob Brown Show, because I'm a branding genius. You can also
say, so you could send me an email too, but you can't spell my last name, and I'm not going to read it anyway.
If you can figure out Lonzo's last name, you can send him an email as well. All right. Final hour of the show. I have a lot of stuff that I want to get to and a lot of stuff that I want to talk about, but Lonzo found a clip during the break that I am going to play for you now, and I'm going to play for you now.
From our very own Rich Eisen Show, which airs noon to 3 right here on the Fan Upstate.
It is and it does. Now, because it's a very long clip, and I don't want to get in trouble, are going to play our favorite little game on the show that we play when I have a long clip. We're going to play Hold Up. Here's how the game works. We're going to start this clip. And anytime that we have something to say, one or the other of us can say, hold up, address that commentary in real time, and then resume. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen.
I just want to see if it works.
Oh, you're gonna do a buzzer?
I'm going to buzz you every time you're wrong.
I suspect you're all going to be very tired of the buzzer noise by the end of this segment. Mike Pereira is a former NFL official. He is also one of the many NFL officiating experts who are on television broadcast just about every NFL game at this point, which, for the record, I think is a wonderful idea, provided the rules officials are someone who are A, good, B, entertaining, C, objective.
Well, you'd have to say, or I believe you would have to say, I don't want to put words in your mouth, that he, along with Dean Blandino, are probably the two guys, when you hear his name, you're like, okay.
Yeah, I'd say that they are of the core group of officiating experts who slide into the screen 5, 6, 7 times a game and slide right back out. They're just kind of on standby. He was on, as Lonzo mentioned, the Rich Eisen Show, which airs right here on the Fan Upstate. And Mike Pereira was, is heated the right word?
No, it's a matter of factly.
Okay.
As an expert in the field, whereas some people are not, he was addressing those people.
Here we go with the little game we call Hold Up. The conversation, and this is one of the issues with this conversation, and I love Rich Eisen, okay? I love Rich Eisen. I have petitioned for more stations to carry Rich Eisen's show. The problem that is had with Rich Eisen in this moment is that's not the conversation. That's not the conversation at all.
It absolutely is. No, it's not. It's with your boy, Stephen A., and those guys. Absolutely, that's what you're talking about. I can find you the clips and send it to you. It's even on the headlines of what they're talking about.
Okay, first off, headlines on the internet are crap.
No, I'm talking about on their show. You know, like right there, it says, why are the Eagles passing game productivity not matching its potential? On the bottom of the TV screen on ESPN right now.
That is
there are screens. Why are the refs in the Chiefs' pocket?
Okay. Then let me rephrase that. Let me attack it from only the perspective of the Rob Brown Show. I shan't speak.
There we go. All right.
Shan't speak for my boys.
For the rest of your secret society.
Right. I won't read you the group
text.
Which
I guess is not secret anymore since
you've outed us.
I'm a whistleblower.
Yes.
That's what I am.
The group text with me, Aikman, Buck, Cam, Stephen A., Mad Dog. I won't read those.
I forgot. Ryan Clark.
So I will just give you, for the rest of this conversation, the perspective of the Rob Brown Show. For Rob Brown, the conversation is not, I believe that anybody's in anybody else's pocket. Because the inference there is what? Bribery. Straight up payment for calls. I don't believe that's happening. I have told you what I think is happening. Patrick Mahomes gets superstar calls. It is what it is. I don't like it. I don't think it should be that way in any game of any sport. But it always has been. The conversation is that Mahomes is gaming the system to take advantage of those calls to the point of marring games. And I believe that game against the Texans was marred. The framing of the conversation, right out of the gate, I have a problem with it.
All right, and that is part of the conversation. That is not the overall conversation. The overall conversation is that the Chiefs, as a team, have been getting calls for years. It's not just about the couple Patrick Mahomes plays. It's about the Chiefs overall. And that's what the narrative has been there for a couple years. And then it has become very strong in the last 2 weeks as your secret society pushes to get Buffalo in the Super Bowl.
I think that Patrick Mahomes has been getting superstar calls for years. But I've never spoken out about it because so has every other marquee of the league. So is every other face of the league. I'm going to say the league. I don't mean the NFL. I mean any league. That's just the narrative. All
Are
right.
we going to get past the question?
I know, right? Hold up. Mike. There are books about it, bud. People have dived in and done the empirical research. There are literally clips, and I will take it back to because they are called—
I read books about hobbits. It doesn't mean they exist.
Because they are called the Jordan Rules. I can at least take you back to Michael Jordan. There was a whole controversy last year where people started to point out that some of Mike's numbers may have been inflated by certain calls going certain ways, and there was enough evidence on the table to make it a discussion. Sincere question, and I'll ask the Facebook chat because you guys are here now. I may make this our text poll question of the day tomorrow. But how many of do you, Lonzo, do you genuinely believe that superstars don't get calls? Do you genuinely believe superstars aren't protected? Subconsciously or consciously?
I will tell you that it would appear so, but especially in football, I think it would be very difficult to do. In basketball, I think it's easy to do because there's so many. It's because the style of the game and everything. In football, I think it'd be really hard because it's faster and so many things are happening so quick. I think it'd be harder in football. Basketball for sure, I believe it. Football, I don't so much.
I don't. I think we literally just watched it happen. Let's keep going. Okay, time out. Hold up. Sorry, forgot my own game there. If Mike Pereira can't understand the difference between calling a ball that hits the ground a catch and calling a guy getting hit in bounds as being hit out of bounds, I don't know what to say. This, to me, subjectively, this is, much as Lonzo accuses me of doing all the time, Mike protecting his boys. No, referees are, listen, it's fast game. You can't, guy. He was in bounds objectively, and I said it before the call. He was in bounds.
I do want to applaud you because other hosts wouldn't do this, and you're willing to do this, and it totally destroys your entire stance on this so far and continuing on with the audio. It's just going to destroy everything you've been saying about it, but you're willing to do it. Other hosts would not do that, and I applaud you for that.
Okay, hold up. Well then, Mike, are you saying it's impossible to do? Because if you're saying that it's possible to get it right, then I expect you to get it right. And if you're saying it's impossible to get right, then why are you there? You were there back in the day because we didn't have any other option. But we have all kinds of options now. We have cameras that film at a literal million frames per second. We could have robo-umps on the field today that would allow us to get as close to objectively correct as is possible. So, if you are saying that, boom, boom, 1/26 of a second is too fast for the human brain to compute, then you are making the argument for me to go to RoboRefs. But if you're saying, no, we don't need to go to RoboRefs because umps can get it right, then get it right.
Wow, there really are cameras that do a million frames per second. I had never heard that before.
There are cameras that are so slow in their filming. So you can watch a bullet go into, not hit, go like penetrate an apple in slow motion. It's
like,
incredible.
Like playing the sniper game.
Yes. Okay. They have cameras that can film that fast.
Okay.
So, Mike, if boom boom is too fast for you, if you're not good at the boom boom, then we got cameras that can take advantage.
I think that means something totally different.
Yeah, that's why I said it. All right, hold up. Hold the hell up. This is, I never thought I'd hear this. I never thought I'd hear a referee go with the "you never played the game" argument, as if I have to have played the game to know how the game gets played. I don't, Mike.
Well,
I don't.
Not everybody's refereed before, and you have left.
I don't.
But you've never
need
refed
to.
At that level.
I don't
so,
need to.
I mean, the intricacies and the things that, just like someone couldn't just come in here and run this board. They might get there eventually, but they couldn't just come in and go, "Oh, okay, this does this."
No,
well,
but you know what I can do? If I'm sitting here and I'm watching you work the board, and I hear an F word get out over the air, and I hear music that's not there and should be, or music that shouldn't be there and is, and you got two different channels playing at the same time, I don't need to be able to say, "This is how you do it right," to say, "You are definitely doing it wrong," right?
You sound like you've seen people do that before.
As I believe it was John Mulaney, the stand-up comedian, who said, "I don't need to know how to fly a helicopter to know that the guy who's hanging upside down in a tree in one did it wrong. I don't need to know how to land a plane to be able to say that the one that crashed at the end of the runway probably got it wrong."
That's not necessary. That's not 100% true, because a bazooka could have been involved, a flight of birds. There could have been a lot of things that caused those aircraft to no longer function.
Maybe so. And do you know what we can do in those spots? We can go, "Hey, listen to the black box.
Tower, bird strike, bird strike, bird strike. Mayday, mayday."
We have ways of knowing.
Is that what they say, bird strike?
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's a bird strike.
Are you sure?
Yes. Listen, I do not need to be good at something to know that someone else is not good at that thing. Okay? I don't need to. I don't need to know how to be an official to know when something's wrong. And here's the thing. What I'm not going to sit here and do is allow Mike Pereira to conflate dumb things with the most complicated aspects of being a referee. That's not what I'm saying, right? This is conflating me forgetting to turn my microphone on to start the segment, a dumb small mistake, with coming in here and ripping the mic off the wall because that's how microphone work, right? No, it's not. It's not that tough. All I have to do is push this button. That's all I got to do is push that button.
By the way,
it's a simple task.
That was five.
It's a simple thing. No, that was intentional.
That does.
It is.
That's not.
And even if it was, for the point, it's worth it. Mike is not going to conflate the complicated aspects of being an NFL caliber official with that guy on green, not on white. Can hit on green, no hit on white. It's not hard. It's not. Mahomes is inbounds. I saw it with my own eyes. It's on TV in 4K. All right, Mike? That guy's right there. There is not a conflation between it's a really tough job, you guys. Not that call. Not that call. And I don't need to be good at what you do to tell you that you're bad at what you do. There's a lot of guys out there in radio that can listen to me and go, this guy sucks at radio. And they're not wrong. Right? They don't have to be radio hosts to know when a radio host is bad. You don't have to be a guitar player to listen to me play guitar and go, you're not that good. Yeah, you don't have to be Eddie Van Halen to tell me I suck at guitar. I know.
Well, he's dead, and that's it's unfortunate.
You get the point. I never thought I'd hear an official hit me with the, you never put on the uniform, so you can't talk to me. Yeah, I can, Mike. Yeah, I can, and I do. Every day. This makes me want to talk about it more. I want to talk about this more now because of you, Mike. No, I've never done it before. Guess what? I do know. I do know that was bad. That was wrong. The helicopter's upside down in the tree. Probably pilot error, if I had to guess. Matt Kraft said, you don't suck at radio. You definitely suck at guitar. No, I know. That's fair.
Now,
thank you, Matt Kraft.
Now it makes me think that he's someone that you know pretty well.
I swear to you, I don't. In fact, we bumped heads on Twitter a couple times the last couple days. And Matt Kraft, I respect you for showing the hell up.
By the
my
way,
guy, my dog.
By the way, Rob's a pretty good guitar player.
Kane said, should the NFL head office have called into the game and said reverse the call because it's wrong? I believe the calls that were made aren't reviewable.
Put reviews on every call.
4K, 100 million, 1,000 trillion frames a second cameras, and just have a committee of dudes who sit in New York but find a 180 inch projector screen.
You know what happened if they do that? There'll be less calls. They'll stop making calls because if everything you do is scrutinized to that degree, then you just stop doing it.
Robo-umps.
Uh-huh.
Robo-umps. Robo-umps.
There are no umpires in football.
Put a committee?
No umpires in football.
Yes, there are umpires
in
football.
Yeah, there are.
One of the positions on the field is umpire.
Right. Is that the white hat?
Turns out, Mike, I don't need to be one to know it, do I?
Is that the white hat? Is the white hat the umpire?
No, that's the head referee.
Okay, I can't write. Yeah.
Umpire is the guy that stands behind the defense, I believe. That's also true. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. (844) 326-3663. That's the text line number. Texter said, did you not see Pat flop like a fish? Flop like a fish. A SpongeBob SquarePants reference. Now we're really going down the rabbit hole. What he got, quote, hit out of bounds, end quote. Troy Aikman said, we don't do that in this league. Another texter said, I played the game and a quarterback can influence a call. Hey, no, listen, I think we have seen every star quarterback chirp up the stripes. And if you're telling me the stripe, do I believe there are a few head refs that are probably not influenced by that? Sure. Do I think a lot of them are, especially maybe new guys to the league doing like their first service as a crew chief? Yeah,
so,
I think they can be influenced.
So all you guys who have decided that this is a thing, who makes the decision? Does this come from higher up or the individual referee decides?
Again.
Or is there like that secret memo that no one sees when they do the referee school thing? And they tell him, okay, here's a list of guys. You got to take it easy on them. Let's start with Josh Allen. Let's go with the quarterback from Baltimore. Let's go with the quarterback from San Francisco.
All right, I shall respond to your mild but yet sincere sarcasm here.
All my sarcasm is sincere.
I shall respond. I don't think, much like the whole concept of rigging the games at large, I don't think there is like a grand conspiracy. What I think is referees protect stars. I am even willing to go so far as to say from the perspective of the Rob Brown of the Rob Brown Show, television's Rob Brown and only TV's Rob Brown, I am willing to go so far as to say It may even be a subconscious decision, as we do know what the NFL has done in time has been what? Continue to progress regulation regarding quarterback impact. If you touch a QB on the shin after he throws a ball down, it is a 15-yarder. If you tap, not hit, not club, not punch, not swipe, not JBL clothesline from hell, if you tap a quarterback's helmet, it is a foul now. So,
okay,
if we,
so last, on, week, when, at, last me, week when Patrick Mahomes got tackled by his ankles as a guy was laying there and reached out and grabbed his foot, that should have been a penalty.
Yes, I don't know the play you were talking about.
Why did they not call it?
I don't know.
I was yelling at the screen. I remember it. Why did they not call it? I thought that was roughing the passer.
I do not recall the play you're talking about. If you can find it and show it to me, I'll be happy to address it.
I do not recall being at that place that you said I was at.
Here's what I do know. What I do know is the NFL has, year after year, increased the influence that they put on protecting quarterbacks. Why do they do that? Because the NFL can show you via television ratings that games without superstar quarterbacks are just not as viewed on television. At the end of the day, every one of these decisions, top to bottom, left to right, up and down, every one of these decisions is backed financially, made financially. So when the NFL can empirically show, we've showed this stat on the show before. I don't remember where it is. I'll try to find it again. But we have showed empirically that when there is an NFL game featuring one of the two starting quarterbacks, the ratings drop. If it's both backup quarterbacks, the ratings plummet, historically speaking. So the NFL is protecting its stars. You lose a running back, it is what it is.
So
you lose your quarterback, it is
quarterback
what it is.
Quarterback is a ratings stat.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
It's not
a winner or loser stat, but technically it is.
Television ratings can absolutely be directly drawn to quarterbacks
at
large.
So every year, at the beginning of the year, we are told by the sports media, as it's conveyed to them by officiating, that this is a point of emphasis this year. We're going to concentrate on all the false starts or whatever it is, or pass interference. They tell us every year before the NFL starts. So you're telling me that they don't have a meeting to say, okay, this year we are going to focus on keeping Patrick Mahomes safe. So
Stop. You went too far. Hang on.
So then how do they know to do it?
I'm going to explain it. You went too far. It is not a meeting to say, let's keep Patrick Mahomes safe. But they have absolutely had meetings to establish the safety and protection of quarterbacks. And so if the NFL says to a referee's face, your job is to protect the quarterback, which they have done, and they have announced it, that this is our protection point.
Yeah, but they only do that for certain quarterbacks.
No, let me get there.
Which I guess, I guess is subjective, but again, I mean, it should be the same across the board.
You went too far. I pulled you back. I let you go. You ran right back to same spot.
I did not. You need to come where I'm at. Okay. It's the right place.
No. Let me finish then. If the NFL has, and they have, it's on the record, set point of emphasis of protecting the quarterback. And if somebody comes to you and says, your job is X, you are going to put additional emphasis into that thing, right? If the boss calls you down there and says, Lonzo, your job is to push that slider up and down to the perfect spot, you're going to pay more attention to that slider than all the other sliders on the board. That's how human work. So if you are told over and over, protection of the quarterback is a point of emphasis, then the next step in that is going to be, I have to protect the most important quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes is,
slip that in, most important quarterbacks? First you said it was a quarterback position. Now you're saying it's the most important quarterbacks. So how do they decide which quarterbacks are the most important?
I have heard, it is the television. If you think for a second that I don't believe that Josh Allen is more protected than Kyler Murray, you're wrong. He is. What I am saying is,
all right, so here's the thing, and I am, this is a legitimate question for me. How do they decide which ones are the protected and which ones are not? Is it about popularity?
You keep saying.
How do they decide, though?
I'm trying to answer you. You keep saying.
How would you decide?
The way that I think that this is working, and I can only say I think. Let's keep in mind, me, Zoe, every dork with a microphone today, we're all speculating, okay? It's predominantly speculation. I am not speculating when I say Patrick Mahomes has figured out how to take advantage of the rules. And I will go so far as to say, I think Josh Allen could do the same thing. I think I don't think Lamar could, because Lamar got nailed out of bounds this weekend and nothing got called. To the point
that's because it was in Buffalo, and I've already told you guys about Buffalo.
Yes, that's it. I think that it is made to be known by the National Football League. Quarterbacks are ratings. And when you go look at the most viewed NFL games year after year, they almost always directly line up to the best quarterbacks. We tune in. We don't have to like it. I certainly don't. But we tune in to see the stud quarterbacks. When you turn on a television and you see an NFL commercial, who do you see? The quarterback. The Eagles, when they are advertising the NFC Championship game this weekend, who should they be advertising? Saquon Barkley.
Oh, absolutely.
Who's the guy we see? Jalen Hurts. A guy who is banged up, I don't think is 100% for the game this weekend, missed three games with a concussion, left last week's game with a leg injury before he came back. That's the guy they advertised. Not Saquon Barkley, who put up 220 yards, has put up multiple 200-yard games this year. Not Saquon Barkley. They advertise Jalen Hurts because we are, whether it's because we've been conditioned into it or it's just our natural state, we gravitate to QBs. And so if the NFL spends all this time, as they have, saying we have to protect our quarterbacks, we have to protect our quarterbacks, then it is the next logical step in that thread that the more important the quarterback, the more protection that they are going to get. And when I add into that conversation the fact that I believe Patrick Mahomes is a master gamesman and has figured out it's not about the slide. But if I just throw my feet out front of me and go butt down, I'm going to get that call, and they give it to him instead of going, that was dead ball, that was not a slide. He sat down. He sat down fast. That's different than he did not give himself up. He sat down fast. Or if Patrick Mahomes goes on a full sprint to the sideline, but then he stops one step before the line of scrimmage and takes a hit, that's not out of bounds. I literally freeze framed it. He is 100% in bounds when he gets shoved in the back. Don't call it. But because the NFL put such an emphasis for so long, I blame the NFL, so we're clear. Because they put such an emphasis for so long on protecting the quarterbacks, and we all know that Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback that America tunes in to see, even if it's out of hate, spite, and rage, we do. Of course they're going to protect the guy. Because if Mahomes goes down, you know what else goes down? Television ratings of the most popular team in the NFL. It's a real simple equation to me. All right, we'll get away from this. Let's get some more football in here before we ask what the X is going on and call it a day on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to,
buy, buy, buy,
in a bear market, or
sell, sell, sell,
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, I teased this conversation a couple times. I might as well get to it here while we got a few minutes before we ask what the X is going on and call it a day. On Saturday last week, on Bet for the Cycle, which airs every Saturday from noon to 4 on the BetQL Network, starring former Major League Baseball player Cody Decker and myself, Rob Brown, we were very football heavy, obviously, talking college football national championship a couple of days before it aired, and talking about the NFL's divisional round. And Cody Decker came to me. Now, Cody is a guy who likes college football, but he's self-admittedly not a college football guy. It's another sport to him, right? Like he, and I told him, I think that the conversation we had is largely impacted by the region in which you grew up. He grew up in Los Angeles, California. He now lives in New York City. So he's been in both of the two major American television markets. But he's not a college football guy, which makes sense. He went to UCLA. All right, I get it. He came at me with the take of, Rob, there's so much going on right now that, and it was such a long break that I don't care about the college football national championship. He's like, I'll tune in, I'll watch it, but it's like going to be background. Like it's not something I'm going out of my way for. And I said, oh, is it because it's Ohio State Notre Dame? Like, is it because there's not a West or East Coast team involved? And he said, nope, it's got nothing to do with that. It was 11 days between the college football national championship semifinals and the college football national championship. He said there's very little in entertainment that holds my, with so much going on, with TVs and music and whatever, and the amount of sports we have going on. We have the NFL playoffs going on. We are in the meat and potatoes of the NBA season. We've got Major League Baseball, and Deck's a baseball guy, so this applies to him, maybe not even a chunk of the audience here, but it's baseball's hot stove season. We got free agencies. We got Hall of Fame voting. That, all that matters to Cody Decker a lot. He said, with 11 days between the semifinal and the natty, I lost interest. And that was echoed by his co-host on Beadle and Decker, Michelle Beadle. Okay. I had two reactions to that. Number one is, kind of sounds like a you problem, champ.
It does.
Right? Now, it could be a college football problem if the television ratings reflect that a large swath of the nation feels the way that Michelle Beadle and Cody
Decker
felt. See,
that's what I was going to say. The data would back them up, but I didn't find any. Have you found?
Well, the ratings aren't going to be out.
Okay.
The ratings will probably come out like Thursday, Friday. The initial ratings, which are going to be like roughly to the half million, how many people watch it. Like specifics as far as demo breakdowns and all that is going to come later. But there's really only one metric that we care about, which is going to be total eyeballs on. Now, if we get these ratings on Thursday, Friday, whenever they drop, and there is, let's say, like a 12% drop in audience from last year to this year, especially considering last year, and I say this with all due respect, with Washington in the Natty last year, there was a lot of interest lost because it's just not a huge school with fan base or a long history and tradition in the national college football landscape. Ohio State and Notre Dame both have enormous viewership bases and a very long storied tradition in the college football landscape on a national level.
Sounds like you're making up reasons why it might be more.
I honestly said on Twitter that night when this conversation was going around, I said on Twitter Monday night, I firmly believe this is going to be the most viewed national championship in the last probably decade. I mean, the only ones that are going to rival are like the LSU-Alabama rematch from a few years back, the Georgia-Bama natty from a few years back. The big-time SEC programs will be in that mix. This is going to have more eyeballs on it than last year's natty did.
You know, I think there's also extra interest in something like this when it's something new. I think there was a ton a few years ago when they went to the 14 playoff. I think more people probably tuned in going, okay, what's this going to be like? And I think maybe you get a little more of those fringe people who will watch if it's, you know, on, more than likely watching because it's brand new.
I agree with that. I think there will absolutely be a huge chunk of the audience, which I believe is going to be a huge audience. I believe there'll be a huge chunk of the audience who tuned in just to see what the finale looked like. Now, I don't think it's going to be maybe as big as we think because this was the last game, right? Like what happened in the 12-team playoff is at least on the last day, is largely irrelevant to the game itself. Like, this is a football game. We got 60 minutes of gridiron action, and somebody's taking home a big bank pen holder-shaped trophy at the end of the night. Like, that, we're done here. There's no play. There's nobody else. There's no other outside variables. It is Team A and Team B, and they're going to play for 60, and the winner gets a trophy. I don't know. I'm not saying it's going to have no impact, right? Because some people might, okay, what is, you know, does a national championship team look different when they've had to play three or four games to get here? Like, is that, I don't know. That there will be some of that. But I think at the end of the day, the only way we're going to know if more of the country feels like Beadle and Decker and lost interest because there was so much else going on and there was a week and a half break between the semifinals and the Natty, and a week and a half between the quarterfinals and the semis, and a week between the opening round and the quarters.
Do they lose interest in that week between the championship games and the final game in the NFL? Lose interest there?
All right, so Michelle, and I didn't get this because she had like a legitimate like 5-minute take, so I kind of cut out the important part at the beginning. She went on to say that in her opinion, the NFL is the exception to the rule. She said, look, you could take a 2-year break between the NFC, AFC championship games and the Super Bowl, and I would come watch the Super Bowl because it's the Super Bowl. And Decker kind of said the same thing on Saturday, to which I responded, yeah, but I think that is, respectfully, I think that's an LA, New York City attitude. I think if you come down here.
It's also hypocritical because it's what, just a couple days less? Then it's a week and a half.
I don't know. I get where you're saying. I don't know if I agree with hypocritical, because I think their view is college football is a secondary sport.
They're right compared to the NFL.
Right. On a national scale, it is. My point that I was making here was then, and I would say this to Beadle, I did say this to Decker. The only takeaway that I have from all of this is that you don't love college football. You like it. And that's okay. Like, it doesn't mean, it's not like a derogatory thing. Everybody likes the things that they like. People judge Zoe and I all the time for being big pro wrestling fans. And do you know how much we care? Not even a little.
Yeah, less than that, if that's possible.
Yeah, not even a little. All right? We don't care if he judges. I don't care if you just kind of like college football but don't love it. Like Cody Decker, who will admit that to you. He likes it. Don't love it. He loves the NFL, right? The NFL can do no wrong in Cody Decker's mind. Cody's on that group text with me, Troy Aikman, Cam, Stephen A. Smith, and Mad Dog, by the way. He loves the NFL, and he loves baseball. It's kind of the same thing. Like, to him, you could put a 6-week break between the NL and ALCS in the World Series, and Deck will count down by the minute to first pitch. To the minute, he'll count down. And all I was trying to explain to him was, I think this is just the result of when and where you was raised. Because I was raised up in the South. College football's not, they could have moved the Natty back another week. You know what it would have done in my life? Giving me another week of content where I'm just previewing the Natty one more week earlier. That's it. It would have been the same feeling for me. There's only one number, however, that matters. The question is, does more of the country feel like Beadle and Decker, that having an 11-day layoff was too much time? Or does more of the country feel like me and went, I don't care. I was counting down. And here's why it's important. It is important for one reason and one reason alone. Because if the number comes down, if the ratings are down, if it's level with last year, then the College Football Playoff Committee may start looking and go, do we change the schedule? Do we move the start of the college football weekend up, or college football season up, one more week? Do we move it up 1 week? We can move the champion. We can change, keep the schedule as laid out. But instead of playing the championship game on the 11th, we play it on the 4th. Do we move it up a week? Or do we move the playoffs? Do we take maybe 2 or 3 days less? Maybe we play some Thursday playoff games instead of trying to put them all on Fridays, Saturdays, and then a title game on Monday. When those ratings drop, if I am right and people are totally good with it, nothing changes. If Beadle and Decker are right, the entire college football schedule might change.
We shall see. I can't wait to see what the ratings are. All right, let's find out what is Xing, and Rob will tell us why.
That shouldn't be playing. Okay, we got it. We're good.
Yeah, I got it. Anyway, the thing that is Xing, thank goodness it wasn't nothing bad. I don't know what that was, is Sydney Sweeney.
Sydney Sweeney is Xing because she was at a game last night. I don't know what game it was. Sydney Sweeney is also trending for two major reasons. She's famous and she was at a game. Those are the two major reasons.
All right, so I would suggest you don't look up Sydney Sweeney at work because there's some things that pop up that I was not expecting. So, yeah.
I need you to know the entendre that you just accidentally dropped.
Oh, no. I'm aware. I'm aware. Okay. I was hoping we could move on past it afterwards, that I know that I did what I did, not on purpose, but I was willing to keep moving there. But, yeah, there's some questionable videos show up if you just see why Sydney Sweeney is Xing, and I might need to talk to engineering later. The next thing that's...
Hey, Chris, how do you delete a search history?
Oh, he will just... He'll find a way to put it on my social media. No, please don't do that, Chris. I'm just joking. Actually, I don't think he's here.
Phenomenal.
So doesn't mean he's not listening.
Phenomenal.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Steve Perry.
As in the lead singer of Journey? Steve Perry?
Former lead singer.
Former lead singer. Yeah, he's not the lead singer of Journey anymore.
Journey does still exist, as far as
I
know.
They do. Yeah. And I will go so far as to say, when I... saw Journey not terribly long ago. I saw them a number of years ago when they had the new front guy. If you ever go see Journey in the modern iteration, this is what I suggested to do. It's what I did. When they start their first song, turn around and look away from the stage. Don't look at the stage. Just let the sound hit you first. The dude's pretty good. Like, pretty good.
Yeah, and I think he's the second guy that they had in there, but he's the one who's lasted for a really, really long time.
Yeah, he's good.
They even put out a new album. I don't think I listened to it, but I know they put one out like a few years ago.
I definitely
am. Steve Perry is Xing because it's his birthday.
Okay. I like it. Listen, O'Sherry is on that list of Yacht Rock songs that every time it comes on, I'm like, I'm going for the high note. I'm never going to get it, but I'm going for it every time.
Yeah, I got that high note. I could hit it. How old do you think he is?
72.
76.
I'm always within a few.
I mean, if you look at him, he does not look like he's nearly 80.
Good for him. No, he does not.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
When I get nearly 80, if I make it that far, you're going to know, without a doubt. All right. And
the wife asked me 2 days ago, because we're watching Shrinking with Harrison Ford, and Harrison Ford looks exceptional, right? And she's like, hey, can you make sure when you're that age you look like Harrison Ford? Yeah, on it, man. I'm on it. No problem.
There's a comeback, but it would have been risky. You need to find a woman equally as old and tell her that she has to look that good.
But, well, I'm still married, so I obviously didn't do that.
Yeah, you didn't do that. That was risky.
And you look like Heidi Klum? No, shut up, idiot. Don't say that.
Well, you could have went Christie Brinkley. There's several other older women who still look pretty good. Finally, the last thing that's Xing is Corey Graves.
That whole drama thing, is that... Okay, here's all I know that I did saw. All I know I did saw is was it Taz? Somebody went out and put out a statement. They were like, look, dude, like, you have to recognize that guys like I talked about earlier in the show, guys like McAfee had the opportunity to bring brand power. And at the end of the day, like, you're a cog in the wheel and you got to learn how to adapt to be the most efficient cog to get your opportunity. Like, a lot of people have been telling Corey, like, we know you're ticked, bro, and it's understandable. You kind of got to relax, or you're going to do yourself in.
He's back on NXT last night. You should just watch the first little bit to see what he says and how he says it.
Ooh.
No, he looks very happy, but he's also a decent announcer. Uh-huh. Yeah, actually, I think he's pretty good.
I think Corey Graves is really good, to be honest. I think he's really good, but he needs a true face to be his best.
He does. If you watch, you will see Booker T is the one who does not look happy.
Yeah, I see. I love Booker five time, but I don't like Booker on commentary. I don't. Like, I feel about Booker the way everybody else feels about me. Stop yelling so much, Book. Shucky ducky quack quack. Hey, that's it for us. Y'all have a great rest of your day. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better, on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later.